The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And now, from the rooftop of the Rockies, it's Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn.
And welcome. Here is hour two. It is May 10th, 2020. Happy Mother's Day. And Barack Obama is having a panic attack right now. And I wanted to go through exactly what and why Obama is having that panic attack. It's really extraordinary that Obama recorded this like little minute and a half snippet of him speaking in response to the Flynn exoneration. And I believe he gave it to Michael Isikoff at Yahoo News, one of the major deep state spygate plotter news people, mainstream media hack. And somehow it gets into Isikoff's hands and then it gets released, you know, all deliberate deal that they wanted Obama. Obama wanted to cut through any intervening, anybody didn't want to have media matters relay this message. He wanted to do it himself because he's panicking. And I'll tell you this, Barack Obama has got a three-star general suddenly freed up. A three-star general who's an American patriot and who knows where the bodies are buried and who might be of service in getting to some truths about the Obama administration. I mean, do we have a three-star general coming straight after Obama right now? Is this why Obama is obviously panicking here? Oh, we're going to go through this little message here. And I'll tell you, Obama has had a bee in his bonnet. He has had a problem with Flynn ever since he fired him from his administration back in 2014. Obama was the defense, DIA, defense, I forgot the name of whatever that is, but it's the high-up defense intelligence advisor. And Flynn disagreed with a few things that were going on in the Obama administration, like the Iran deal, for instance. And I think Flynn may have had some concerns about some expenditures, some black ops that were going on in the CIA and in the intelligence community. And yeah, Flynn knows where the bodies are buried. And guess what? He's free now. But Obama personally intervened with Donald Trump before Trump became president and said, don't hire Flynn. One thing I ask of you is to not hire Flynn. Don't hire General Flynn. Man, that's pretty extreme. Like, why would you personally intervene, Barack Obama, to try to tell Trump not to do that? And then all of a sudden, Trump does that. And then next thing you know, all of the coup plotters are after Flynn and they get him on, they railroad him, right? But at any rate, this, because we're all in a good mood and because this is a tribute to the ace man out in Cincinnati, we've got the Hot Pants song that Obama has had. Hot pants for Flynn for all this time. He's feeling the hot pants right now. And in a good way, we're feeling the hot pants. And so we got to have a little. We got to have a little of this, don't you think? Hot pants. Smoking them. Hot pants.
Hot pants. Hey, hot pants. No. Hot pants. Smoking the hot pants.
Yeah, who got them?
That's where it's at. That's where it's at.
Yeah, we play this song when we get in the hot pants kind of mood. And we are in the hot pants kind of mood right now. And I know, Ace Man, if you're listening, check in after a while. We'll talk about he left this on the button bar for us before he had to relocate. But why is Obama wearing the hot pants right now when it comes to Flynn exoneration? Why is that? Why does he come out and record this message that says, quote, the rule of law is at risk now? Why does he come out and say that? Why does he come out and say that he's concerned that, quote, it can accelerate pretty quickly, events can right now. It, quote, it can accelerate pretty quickly. And he says, quote, "So I am hoping that all of you feel the same sense of urgency that I do." Obama has the hot pants urgency. He's worried that things can accelerate pretty quickly. And he's saying that the rule of law is at risk when A.G. Barr just was very clear, and we've been doing the evidence on this all the way along, that Flynn exoneration is on the side of the rule of law, and his railroading was not on the side of the rule of law. And that goes back to Team Obama. That goes back to the Spygate coup plotters. And that goes to Mueller. And it goes to that loser weasel Van Grack. Okay. So why don't we listen to, and we might have to go through it kind of slowly or kind of go through it like maybe even a couple of times, but let's listen to Obama's panic messaging here. Oh, we still got the hot pants. And I'll pause it on my end here. Yeah, we just pause that. Barack Obama records this. Michael Isikoff gets a hold of it, Yahoo News, and it's out all over everywhere. And yes, it's like using the panic word because that's what this is right here. Let's listen to it. I'll just play it in full, the whole minute and a half.
The degree to which the news over the last 24 hours, I think, has been somewhat downplayed about the Justice Department dropping charges against Michael Flynn. And the fact that there is no precedent that anybody can find for someone who's been charged with perjury.
Not true, and he wasn't charged with perjury.
Just getting off scot-free. That's the kind of stuff where you begin to get worried that basic, not just institutional norms, but our basic understanding of rule of law is at risk. And you know, when you start moving in those directions, it can accelerate pretty quickly, as we've seen in other places. So I am hoping that all of you feel the same sense of urgency that I do. Whenever I've campaigned, I've always said, this is the most important election, especially, obviously, when I was on the ballot. Yeah, that always feels like it's the most important election. This one, I'm not on the ballot, but I am pretty darn invested. We got to make this happen.
Okay, that is the full audio clip of the Barack Obama panic attack. Okay, and I'm going to go through this. I'm going to kind of pull this apart, and there's a few falsehoods actually he uttered in there about the no precedent for somebody being charged with perjury being let off scot-free. And for the record, he was not charged with perjury. No, he was not. What Flynn was charged for was a single count of false statements to a federal investigator under 18 U.S.C. 1001. That is different than perjury. You fine legal minds out there will know the difference and the distinction. And I will add this, that there is ample precedent for cases being thrown out due to prosecutorial errors, okay? And Barack Obama's own Attorney General Eric Holder moved to dismiss such a case under the very same judge, Judge Sullivan, during the Barack Obama administration, okay? And that's pointed out by Jonathan Turley over on his website. He's an attorney, George Washington University professor of law. And so Eric Holder had a case thrown out, and that was for perjury. Okay, but now this one is a different ballgame. It's a single count. That's all they got Flynn on. A single count of false statements to a federal investigator. Okay? Now, Barack Obama is saying that the rule of law is at risk and that the Flynn news has been downplayed. He thinks the Flynn news should be a bigger, hairier deal. It should be broadcast more widely in the media. Huh? He's really worried. Of course, he goes into his institutional norms. Institutional, yeah, the institutions. You got to cherish those. Obama trashed them. He trashed them all. The FBI, the CIA, the DOJ. He trashed all of our norms and all of our institutions. We're finding that out now. okay? But one of the key things I take away is he's talking about a sense of urgency, and he's talking about things can accelerate pretty quickly. You heard that phrase, they can accelerate pretty quickly. And that's where I think that they know that one domino falls, one domino falls, and then the others can start falling pretty quickly and at an accelerating speed. And we got to feel urgency here. And, if Donald Trump wins this election in November, if we can't steal it with our all-male ballot, if Donald Trump wins this election, then, that's going to be big trouble for maybe even me personally. And this is Barack Obama stepping up to personally inject himself into the debate. He won't take a question from anybody. He won't go into a live forum and answer media questions, presuming that they might actually be a real question or even a hostile question. Hey, what's up with all this stuff? No, he has to record this message. No one's ever asked Obama about any of this stuff in years. No one. What a crap media we have to live with in this country, huh? It's like the Chinese, the Chi-Com's got nothing on our media. Pravda, it's probably better than our own mainstream media right now. Just leaving Obama scot-free. We're talking about scot-free. That's Obama and all this stuff. But now we're headed towards Obamagate. And I got more to review on this. So hang tight. We're going to review a bit more when we come back.
News Talk 710 KNUS. News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Skyfall, Spyfall, Spygate, exploding on us. Skyfall, 007 stuff here. Thank you for that, Adele. Oh, yeah, we are watching the coup plotters starting to wear Spygate around their ankles as it morphs and escalates into Obamagate here. Yeah, that elevator does not stop at the seventh floor. It keeps on going up, and will we actually get some charges against President Barack Obama himself? And I've always thought, no way, that could not happen. Don't get your hopes up for that. But gosh, I'm kind of wondering. Some of the stuff that was unsealed in Sally Yates' congressional testimony, she was the holdover deputy attorney general after Obama left the White House. Talking about how Barack Obama was really... He knew a lot about this Flynn Kislyak conversation back in January, and Shelley Yates was shocked about how did Obama know about that Flynn Kislyak phone call? Oh, and that has put a lot of people in trouble, especially President Barack Obama, who apparently was far more involved in this than we've been hitherto aware of. He was involved in the effort to get rid of Flynn, to railroad Flynn, and yes, Obamagate is now trending number one on Twitter. 752,000 tweets. The Twitter propagandists are trying to keep that down off the top of the trend list, but they can't do it because the second place Twitter trend is 22,000 tweets about Chuck Todd. Something that fake newsman said this morning on his little creepy Sunday show. So it's 752,000 tweets for Obamagate, 22,000 tweets for Chuck Todd. And Twitter, you know, they try to control their hashtags. Oh, yes, they do. But I want to listen to this one more time. And listen to how strange Barack Obama is with his pauses and his articulation is like slowed down considerably, I think. He's not quite at Joe Biden levels. But this is a stammering statement here, and it's a recorded statement. And again, the key points. We'll listen to it in full. But he is saying that, oh, this Flynn thing is being downplayed, that this three-star general is, he's out on the loose and he's coming after me. Oh, no, we can't downplay this. And the rule of law is at risk. There is no precedent for a perjury person getting off scot-free, but it's not perjury. So this law scholar totally blows it on his facts here. And there is precedent for stuff like this. I'll go into that again. Institutional norms, he brings that up after Obama trashed them all. His sense of urgency. Oh, he's urgent. That's panic, man. He's feeling urgent about this. And he thinks that things can start accelerating quickly. And I should point out that Shannon Bream at Fox News says, big bombshell coming next week. I'm told big bombshell next week. And, you know, for a long time we've been, like, kind of reluctant to say the word bombshell. Or like, oh, you know, but now it's like, whoa, we're getting one bombshell after another, literally, like, every day. And I'm, like, getting used to this. I'm thriving in this bombshell culture we're living in. But Barack Obama wearing the hot pants here is not thriving nearly as well. Let's hear it again. Let's hear his panic attack messaging came out yesterday, last night, and we'll review it a bit more here.
The degree to which the news over the last 24 hours, I think, has been somewhat downplayed about the Justice Department dropping charges against Michael Flynn, and the fact that there is no precedent that anybody can find for someone who's been charged with perjury just getting off scot-free. That's the kind of stuff where you begin to get worried that basic, not just institutional norms, but our basic understanding of rule of law is at risk. And you know, when you start moving in those directions, it can accelerate pretty quickly, as we've seen in other places. So I am hoping that all of you feel the same sense of urgency that I do. Whenever I've campaigned, I've always said, this is the most important election, especially, obviously, when I was on the ballot. Yeah, that always feels like it's the most important election. This one, I'm not on the ballot, but I am pretty darn invested. We got to make this happen.
Okay, there it is. How did it sound that second time? And I think maybe you got a little bit more detail, a little bit more nuance. You know, it's the awkward phrasing, the awkward pausing that Barack Obama brings into that messaging. And whoever recorded that Isikoff guy has some, like, background noise. You could hear him, like, breathing. That wasn't me, just so you know. That was right there on the recording that was put up at Yahoo News. So, again, just to reiterate, Obama gets it wrong that Flynn was not charged with perjury. Like I said, he's charged with a single count of false statements to a federal investigator. Single count. All right? And we went into the whole thing about how it was a whole setup deal and that he didn't know he was being interviewed. He thought the FBI guys were there to be friends with him. They were like big buddies and allies and all that. And by the way, the day before Flynn's interview in January, a Washington Post article got published by Greg Harris and that Ellen Nakashima that talked about how, DOJ was looking into, they couldn't find anything wrong that Flynn did. Flynn didn't do anything wrong. Ah, you see the trick there? That the Washington Post put that story in, a deep state planted story to put Flynn at ease to expect, I'm okay. I didn't do anything wrong. And then they strike with the interview. Comey sends the people over. At any rate, dominoes falling, sense of urgency. Things can accelerate. Acceleration here. What's your sense of that? Do you think that we could start seeing things move pretty quickly? I mean, it's been pretty much somebody like turned over a wheelbarrow full of potatoes and they're coming down on us right now. It's like one bombshell after another, most of it related to this Flint stuff, but yet also that Rick Grinnell, the DNI, is declassifying stuff and bringing it over in satchels. Satchels of information, express hand delivery, speedy delivery, the AG Barr. Oh, glory. Glory be, ladies and gentlemen. It's like we're getting the declassification. Flynn is exonerated. We've got Obamagate trending on Twitter, like far and away the number one thing people are talking about. President Trump, 786,000 tweets now. It's like gone up 16,000 just in this last segment. Woo-wee! Whoa, we got hot pants. Yeah, we got them. All right, we're going to keep this going. Hang out. Be right back.
KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Oh, Little Richard. Passed on at age 87. Tutti Frutti, let's have some volume.
I got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do. I got a girl named Sue.
1955.
She knows just what to do. She rock to the east, she rock to the west, but she's the gal that I love best. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. Tutti Frutti.
Oh, this song is like one of those historic, all-time, earth-shattering songs in the history of rock and roll. From Little Richard, who passed away yesterday at the age of 87. Hate to lose Little Richard. His last name was Penniman, Richard Penniman. And, you know, see interviews with him. Kind of a strange dude, frankly. We watched that guy get out and play his stuff. Good golly, Miss Molly, Tutti Frutti, Long Tall Sally. Tell you, it's hard to beat this guy. He was worshipped and idolized by all the performers at the time, and Rolling Stones, the Beatles. They all thought Little Richard was the man. And I'll tell you, you know, it's funny that he get the height of his fame, 1957, he decided to quit and he retired. All those number one hits, and he retires and becomes a minister. Always a very religious man was Little Richard, and he took some time out to work on his faith. Yeah, you can't beat this one, and kind of fits our mood around here, you know. Kind of excited about all this stuff going on with exonerating Flynn and the coup plotters and a big-time level of panic and all the declassification happening. And it's like, whoa, yeah, like all these years of, like, talking about this stuff and, like, oh, ha, it's happening. And it's very, you know, it's hard. You know, we've just been soldiering on, soldier along. Just keep going. It's too important to let go of. It's a coup. You can't have this. You can't have a coup in America. At any rate, before we let go a little, Richard, we'll go to the phone lines here in just 1 second. We got to hear just a tad more. And this, you know, long, tall. So, by the way, 1955, talk about golden era in America. Can you imagine driving around in your 55 Candy Apple Bel Air Chevrolet, driving down the street? Yeah, listening to some Little Richard. How about some Long Tall Sally right around there?
And Mary bought Uncle John. He claimed he has a misery, but he's having a lot of fun. Oh, baby. Yes, baby. Woo, baby. Having me some fun tonight.
You know, the 50s were crazier than you might think.
Sally, she's piece of guy.
Let's let that one fade under. You know, the 50s is kind of like, you know, you think of Perry Como and kind of stodgy traditionals. But yeah, people were pretty wild in the 50s. Isn't that right, Mom? On this Mother's Day. Yeah, but you heard that. That's the Little Richard version of Long Tall Sally. But who does it better, the Beatles or Little Richard? Here's Paul McCartney trying to channel his Little Richard on the same song. What do you think of this one? Yeah, the Beatles loved the man. I don't know, George Harrison with the guitar in the background, Ringo. You know, McCartney could do it pretty good. You hear that? Pretty good Little Richard there. I don't know, who does it better, the Beatles or Little Richard. Who does Little Richard better? Did the Beatles do Little Richard better? Anyway, and I don't mean, you know, Little Richard, you hate, oh, I wish these people could just last forever. And but before Little Richard passed on and he was doing a show in Nashville, he offered this one quotation that I thought I'd bring in. Quote from the religious man, Little Richard, quote, "Jesus is coming soon. I'm serious. He's been talking to me, and I just want you to know that and remember that something is fixing to happen in this old world. Get closer to God, all of you, black people and white people. White people, you get closer too. He made you too. Everybody, get closer." Get closer to God, get closer to Jesus. That was Little Richard, a very religious man, a devoutly religious man, who had some really hot, wild tunes in the 50s, I'll tell you that's for sure. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see who thinks was better at Long Tall Sally. Let's go to the phone lines here and let's see. Do we have is this Rich? Rich in New York?
Yes, it is, Doc.
Okay. Well, you happen to show up right when I'm playing the tunes, and you're never at a loss for words on musical opinions. But do you have one on Little Richard versus the Beatles and all that stuff?
Yes, I do. It's basically about the supposed founding fathers of rock and roll of the 50s. I find it amazing that the one that's still with us is the wildest one, Jerry Lee Lewis.
The old man. He has an album that came out a while ago called Last Man Standing. And that's Jerry Lee.
But he's still doing the feet on the piano and the whole thing. But first, I wanted to wish all the ladies out there a wonderful Mother's Day. I hope their sons and grandsons and all the rest of the men in the family treated them as well as possible. We couldn't take Mom out for Mother's Day dinner today, so we brought the dinner in from a really nice restaurant that was doing takeout.
Well, happy Mother's Day. You still have Mother's Day in New York, even though you guys are pretty darn locked down right now.
We do. In fact, one of the more famous pizza Italian takeout places, L&B Spumoni Gardens in Brooklyn, in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. They had such a line for the pickup that there was definitely no social distancing going on.
Ah, yeah. Well, it's pizza, man. What are you going to do? And it's Mother's Day.
Yeah, they're extremely good. They're known for their Sicilian-style pies, you know, the square pies.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk. You mentioned Twitter before.
Yeah, and, Twitter. By the way, the Obamagate is now up to 822,000 tweets, and the second place is 24,000. It's insane. Twitter is like freaking out that Obamagate is just going wild, and that's the last thing those liberal people want on their platform, you know.
Well, let me tell you, I got fed up because, you know, all you see are negative Trump things, even threatening, hope he dies, this and that. And there was one person who tweeted about when the valet got sick and said, one can hope that Trump orders another Coke from that same valet, basically saying he's infected. We hope you get infected and die, too.
So that's kind of like a Candy C. DeBacca statement. One of our local Denver state politicians had said that she wanted coronavirus people to show up at Trump rallies to infect everybody. Nasty sentiments out there.
So I type back to this person, I hope it happens to you too. And within 5 minutes, I was put in Twitter jail for 7 days just for writing, I hope it happens to you too.
Rich, you're in Twitter jail. You're in New York City. You're in jail in your condo and your penthouse mansion, whatever it is. And, and you're also in Twitter jail. Bummer.
No, it's a small little rental apartment. It's nothing big. No. I'm not one of the wealthy Upper East Siders who scrammed all the way to the Hamptons with their maids and their butlers.
Well, something to keep in mind, you know, heading into November, that the social media censorship is going to be vicious like we've never seen before against pro-Trump, pro-MAGA people. We're going to be thrown to the turf. And,
it's just part
of the deal. We got to find a way to get around this.
I'll tell you what, Matt. Most of the people that I chat with on Facebook, I don't use Twitter too much, but Facebook is my way of doing it. And all these people, they're writing this, they're writing that, and I go, look, you've been on this guy's back since the escalator. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, just the never-Trumpers, both parties, he ruined their party, he ruined their plans. I said, you could type all you want, something new is going to come up, just put it on his tab. The bottom line is you'll have the only say that matters will be in November, and you might be surprised, and God knows what you're going to say if he gets a second term.
Yeah, and it is, as Barack Obama says, it's an incredibly important election because his chestnuts are in the fire. The whole Spygate coup plotter crowd, you know, if Durham comes up with any convictions. But think about this, if Durham gets convictions on Spygate and then somehow Joe Biden comes in and steals the election, if it's actually Biden, but the Democrats steal the election in November, then all of that goes away. They all get pardoned and it's back to business as usual for the deep state. You know what I mean? I mean, this is big time stuff. And they want to steal it. They want the all-mail ballot.
You know, President Truman, when he was leaving office, he said, "Today, everyone cares about every word I say. Tomorrow, when I'm out of office, no one's going to care about any words I say." So why would anyone care about a former president? They're out of the picture. They can't run again. They're done.
Well, could Michelle end up on the ticket? You know what I mean? Michelle Obama, could she be a vice presidential person? Could she jump in if Joe Biden is somehow like knocked out because of this Tara Reid stuff? It's only getting worse. It's snowballing for Biden.
I don't think Biden's going to be in there. I think they're going to say he's got a health issue. He'll be forced out. But, you know, a lot of people think that my governor, Andrew Cuomo, who had a very wonderful Mother's Day with his mother on the daily briefing and the whole thing, and his daughters, you know, they say that he has a chance. But he doesn't have a chance because of his mother's side of the family, which is the reason why the father, Mario, never ran in 1992, because there's always been talk about the mother's side. Being
stuff there, huh? But think about but
there,
Andrew
but,
Cuomo. Governor of New York forced nursing homes to accept COVID positive patients. The subways were not cleaned up. New York is like the epicenter of coronavirus, and all these people left New York and seeded coronavirus all around the United States of America. I think between Cuomo and de Blasio, they've done a disastrous job in New York, and I hate to be critical of your people, you know, but. What, do you agree with that?
You're right. I live here. But, you know, I think Gavin Newsom's going to be the one.
You're going to think they're going to do Newsom, huh?
They need someone from a big state. And supposedly California had very few cases or not as much as New York. But then again, they all drive cars. Here we're on the subway.
Yeah, they don't have subways in L.A. They walk in L.A. Yeah, walking in L.A. You remember that one, right? All right, Rich. Stay groovy, man, and get out of Twitter jail. Good luck getting out of there, you know? All right. We'll be right back after this.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Now, back to Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Yeah, saying happy Mother's Day from Backbone Radio.
Chaco says yes, and I believe him when we talk about the things I say.
And this is the new Mother Nature.
She has the guts to leave him when they're standing in each other's way. You're tripping back now to places you've been to. You wonder what you're gonna find. You know you've been wrong, but it won't be long before you leave him all far behind. Cause it's the new Mother Nature taking over.
Taking over.
And it's the new splendid lady come to call. It's the new Mother Nature taking over. She's getting us all. She's getting us all.
Yeah, doesn't the Guess Who sound pretty good? We're hitting the 60s now. We've hit the 70s. We've hit the 50s. Now we're sitting here in the 60s. Tell you what, we don't miss a decade. And, Kelly Michaels, he knows his missing persons walking in L.A. That's the 80s. I guess I don't have it here. I could throw it up real fast if I was of a mind to. But, yeah, we're just kind of too busy right now. By the way, last night, President Trump, Saturday night meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, with his top military brass, hanging out with the top brass in the White House. That usually means something's up, ladies and gentlemen. When you start getting all the top military people together, I start wondering, I start having my eyebrows up. What's going on? What's happening? Especially with all these bombshells, you know, all these people panicking, Obama himself. I mean, there's something going on. And I might ask, the ace man has checked in. The hot pantalones man himself is touching base with us from Cincinnati. And Ace, it's been not too bad of a week. Would you agree? And do I have you? Do I have you, Ace? Can I hear you? Are you still there, Ace? Oh, boy. I might not have Ace. At least I can't hear him. Can anybody hear him? Let me put him on hold. Let me put him on hold. I'm going to press the button again. Do we have you? Oh, no. The Ace Man might not be on the premises right now. I'm going to keep him on hold, and I'll just keep going on that point I was making that sometimes, you know, there's some theories that Spygate could explode so sky high that, you know, if you can get a coup plotter series of potential indictments going on, that you might have a kind of a bad reaction from a lot of people. You know what I mean? You might have like a serious bad reaction, and there could need to be some military presence or military involvement. Now, of course, it could be other things that were discussed. Could be more coronavirus-type stuff, which I haven't gone into that much tonight, but I will say this, every other show goes into that, and so I'm not going to add a whole lot more on coronavirus, but I've got a few things to say as the show goes on. But I don't know. Folks, we got all these things happening, the panic happening, and we got the military people, the top brass, hanging out with Trump at the White House. And that does get my attention just a little bit. And Ace, are you there? Checking back with Ace? And nope, he's still not there. I don't know, is this a two-strike thing, or because he's such a cool dude, should we give him one more chance? At any rate, one thing that is really adding fuel is Rick Grenell. And he is the DNI, or Director of National Intelligence, which is the top intelligence officer, which means the director of the CIA works for the DNI, which means Gina Haspel, the current CIA director, is the her boss is this Rick Grenell guy, who's the acting DNI, and John Ratcliffe looks like he's going to be appointed to that position soon. He's going to make it through the Senate confirmation process. And okay, should I try one more with Ace? Is this, and I've got, is this Ace?
Hey, Doc. Can
Ace.
You hear me?
Yeah, right on. Okay, yeah. Somehow, I figured you, you sauntered out off the premises or something. But welcome back. And I was just unfurling a few concepts about, you know, how good it is right now. But how are you feeling? Oh, looks like Ace fell off again. He fell off the wagon. He's having some kind of, you know what? He's in probably some kind of a Twitter phone jail, because you know, his viewpoints are sometimes not appreciated by the powers that be. But at any rate, well, and let's just do this one more time. One more time. Ace, is this you?
This is the Ace Man.
All right. This is our last chance. Let's see if it works. How are you doing?
I'm well, Doc. I'm well. Thank you. And as always, the best political commentary around.
Oh, amen. I tell you.
Obama is on the ballot because, as you said, his chestnuts are going to roast. And, boy, he does not sound as articulate as he did when he was in office, when he had a teleprompter in front of him. He's not quite the orator that he makes himself out to be. But you referenced earlier Sally Yates.
Yeah.
And her utter surprise that, you know, Obama really seemed to be know what was going on with General Flynn. And it seems to me that if they were running a counterintelligence and she was heading up the DOJ at the time, that she would have been read into it. But it sounds as if he went around the DOJ doing something that he shouldn't have been doing.
Yep, it kind of does. She was shocked by that, and that has just come out, and all that Rick Grenell declassification going on, and it's making a lot of people look kind of bad. Obviously, it showed that there's no Russian collusion, no evidence anywhere, and all of that testimony from even all of the key players, right, including Comey and McCabe and Samantha Powers and even Yates, Sally Yates. And why do you think it's so significant what Sally Yates said? I mean, do you think that that is what's getting Obama so panicked, that she has revealed that he was directly involved with the Flynn-Kislyak phone call and knew the contents of it?
I think it's definitely revealed that. I think that it's revealed that he is afraid of General Flynn because Flynn knows where the bodies were buried.
How do you think you would feel? Yeah, if you're the president of the United States and a three-star general who you just locked up on a fraud bunch of charges is coming out maybe potentially after you. How do you think that's going to work, do you think, Ace?
I think maybe it kind of goes back to Chuck Schumer's Six Ways from Sundays deal. where, you know, when you have a patriot, as General Flynn is, versus a deep stayer in charge of the intelligence agencies, he might be revealing some of the things that that were being done illegally. And I think that's where Commissar Obama is so scared.
Mm-hmm.
And he referenced the, you know, the perjury and, you know, lying, and it's never happened. Well, what did Hillary Clinton do? What about her obstruction of justice and her perjury and all the different things that she did along the line that she was never prosecuted for? Those things are 10 times worse than what General Flynn was accused of, and she never even had charges filed against her.
Yep. I noticed that. I really did.
Kind of funny, again, how the deep state takes care of theirs, but if you have somebody, and when you read General Flynn's statement on why he pled guilty, and you find out that they were coming after his family,
his son,
that's kind of sad.
Yeah, and his son's wife was expecting their first child at that time. As they say, a father's love for his children knows no bounds, right?
You know it, Doc, and great show as always. Keep up the wonderful work. Between the Svetlana interview last week and exposing these deep state weasels, keep it up.
Yep, and bombshells coming this week, more info coming. I'm kind of getting used to it, Ace. I'm kind of digging it. All right, Hour 3 coming up next.
We're all in this together, united as one. News Talk 710, KN.